All topics and securities mentioned on Straight Talk from the House are for informational purposes only and should not be used as investment advice. T. Anton Investment House does not offer tax or legal advice. Investments or investment strategies covered are not a recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell. The security's past performance is not a guarantee of future performance.
This is Straight Talk from the House with certified financial planner Tracy Anton right here, 1310 WIBA. Tracy, of course, comes to us from T. Anton Investment House, a fee-only fiduciary, and of course, their website, tantoninvestmenthouse.com. That's T-A-N-T-O-N investmenthouse.com. Of course, you can always call the office right in Middleton at 608-501-1549. That's 608-501-1549. Without any further ado, Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It is great to see you. And we are going to be talking about big tech. And the overarching conversation is going to be about big tech companies and are they getting too big? And I think one of the things that people wonder is there actually a such thing as being too successful or too profitable or just being too big?
Well, it really might be that way with tech companies. They just might become too big. I mean, there's a lot of headwinds right now against them. So they're in the news a lot for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons, obviously, is their shocking performance relative to the market. And that's been that way for many years now. And last year was even more so with the pandemic. So we've got some lofty prices relative to earnings. And then also the political and societal pressures, that they're against with privacy issues and antitrust regulations. So 2021 is likely to be a watershed moment for these big tech names. And the big tech that I'm talking about really are what they call the FANG stocks: Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Google, Microsoft. These names, FANG plus M, really are the ones that are coming under pressure. And again, we're expecting regulatory changes from those companies, which is important discussion for us, right, mm-hmm. As investors to be aware of. And what does that mean? It's also important to look at the additional risks that these companies have due to these regulations, but also just due to the fact that their prices are getting more and more expensive relative to their earnings.
Let's talk scale, Tracy. How big have some of these tech companies gotten?
Again, they've gotten quite big. I mean, that's why they're getting so much attention. When you're measuring it by market capitalization, 5 out of the top 10 U.S. companies are technology or digital businesses. The total market value of those 5 companies exceeds $7 trillion. So FANG stocks, they've again dramatically outpaced the S&P 500 index since 2013. Just over the last year, their market cap grew by 54%.
Wow! Wow, that is a huge number. That is wow. So when we talk then about this, Tracy, and let's talk about these FANG stocks, and they're also obviously they're revolutionary, and they've revolutionized. Different types of industry as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was kind of fun to just kind of look back and think about this, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, we used to look at magazines. Now we look at Facebook and Instagram, right? Yeah. And we used to go to brick and mortar stores and go, okay, I'm going to go and buy XYZ. And now we shop on Facebook. We shop on Amazon. And we, this is how we're shopping. We use personal computers. Now, instead of, looking at, instead of personal computers, we're looking at our Apple iPhones, right? And instead of cable TV, we're using Netflix. And when we want to look up a business, we used to look on Yellow Pages, and now we go to Google. So, I mean, tech really has changed our daily habits, and it's likely to stay. There was a headline that I was reading in the Wall Street Journal, and it was just, are our habits likely to stay? Once the pandemic is over, will we go back? And it's like, no, our habits are our habits, and they're likely to continue.
It's interesting. I laugh because I read a magazine called Wired, which is all about technology, and I get it delivered in the magazine form, and I always laugh that I'm reading a magazine about technology in an old-fashioned form. And same true.
I know. It is funny. I mean, I'm kind of old-schooly, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the Wall Street Journal on my computer, but I also get the hard copy because that really forces me every single day to look at that. I'm looking at that, and I know that the younger people in my office, they just say, oh, okay, I'll get it on online. I'll get it online. You know, they don't want to do it the old school way. And I get it, you know, but my habits are my habits. So there
it's,
you go.
And nobody can argue about that because it's so important. I think, and I'm like you, Tracy, I embrace digital and I love technology, but I don't know. There's something about the retention of information when it's printed and when you can take like as we're doing the show right now, I've got a couple of notes in front of me, got my pencil in hand and I jot things down. And I don't know, with some of this digital stuff, it's not as convenient that way. So
I totally agree with you. And I also think that, you know, it's multiple repetition. So, you know, I pick that thing up, I read the headline, it kind of sinks in and I actually go back and I read it again. You know, so like it's probably multiple things that I'm looking at multiple times.
That and the different, as you point out, different varieties as well, different ways. It's really fascinating stuff, kind of where we are. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on when it comes to things like litigation and things like some of the crackdowns. Specifically over in Europe, there seems to be a lot of attention being paid to these companies. We'll get the details from Tracy. Right now, though, I need you, as we're talking digital, get on the computer, go to tantoninvestmenthouse.com. There is a fantastic tool on the website to schedule an appointment at a time and a date that is convenient to you. All you got to do is head on over to tantoninvestmenthouse.com. That's T-A-N-T-O-N investmenthouse.com. If you're looking for money management or portfolio management, Tracy would love to get to know you. She would love to work with you, and it all starts with a stop at tantoninvestmenthouse.com. And the telephone number right in Middleton, 608-501-1549. That's 608-501-1549. We'll continue our conversation with Tracy next as Straight Talk from the House continues right here on 1310 WIBA. This is Straight Talk from the House with Certified Financial Planner Tracy Anton right here, 1310 WIBA. If you didn't get a chance to check out the website during the break, urge you to get there right now. It's tantoninvestmenthouse.com. That's T-A-N-T-O-N investmenthouse.com. Great website with a lot of great information about Tracy, a lot of great information about everyone at T. Anton Investment House. The best thing there is that tool, that little widget that pops up. It's in Let's Talk. That's your place to schedule an appointment at a time and a date that is convenient to you. You can also, of course, pick up the phone, give Tracy a call, 608-501-1549. That's 608-501-1549. Talking this week with Tracy about tech and are these big tech companies, are they getting too big? And Tracy, as we were talking in that last segment about where they are as far as their market cap, that does draw attention. Are we seeing companies being looked into and government starting to say, hey, what's going on here?
Absolutely. I think landmark litigation really is underway since the size of these companies have grown so large. You know, you got antitrust and regulation. It's coming and it's coming quickly. In October, Google had the lawsuit filed against it by the U.S. Department of Justice for being too large and for really anti-competition. There was also the biggest this is the biggest antitrust case since 1998 when Microsoft was targeted. So you had that in October, and then December, the Federal Trade Commission sued Facebook for their apparent anti-competitive actions in buying Instagram and WhatsApp. So apparently they did some things there that weren't so good. And then, you know, many states are also following up with their own legal actions. So again, we're likely to see more legislative actions come from states and the federal government. So, you know, we're not sure, obviously, how that's going to play out. But, you know, these big tech names, they are being targeted. In fact, I've got a quote here. It says, this is from a portfolio manager that covers the tech industry for more than 20 years, Mark Casey from the Capital Group. They say the sheer size of these companies means they're going to get a lot of scrutiny from every part of society, including government and regulatory agencies. So again, it's the size. They're getting a lot of attention. And, you know, they probably should have a long time ago, really.
Yeah, they don't seem to be always doing themselves any favors either. So as you mentioned, you know, the FTC and others looking into some of these companies, some of the actions. I still remember that 1998, the Microsoft lawsuit, how big that was. I remember involving Internet Explorer and some other things. So obviously that was domestic. What about internationally? Are we seeing countries outside of the United States coming down or cracking down or looking into these companies?
Yep. Europe has cracked down on companies with regulation more than the U.S. Mm. They have threatened with big fines on tech companies for violations on things like data protection and anti-competitive actions. The European Union was actually the first to pass online privacy laws in 2018 through their General Data Protection Regulation. So they're way ahead of us when it comes to, you know, applying some, you know, guardrails. That's all. That's all we're saying here. I don't think we're saying, you know, we're not anti. It's not anti tech. It's just some guardrails.
Well, the important thing you mentioned it too is having some guardrails in place and the importance of checks and balances and competitiveness is, as I think we all realize, is if one right. company is dominating too much, it eliminates competition. Without competition, it limits improvement. It limits, you know, the
absolutely
moving forward.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. You know, it's not really best for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. So what about, as you mentioned, Europe, as they put some rules in place already now, have these companies seen much of a change, or what's kind of the takeaway there?
Well, there's certainly going to be some change when more regulation comes, but it seems that European Union rules haven't had a major impact on tech companies when it comes to profit and revenue. U.S. platforms are implementing some of the European Union provisions, so we'll have to see what the impact on the U.S. companies will be. I think you and I were talking in the break that I saw that Google was saying, well, you know, we won't monitor everyone's path on the internet. So if they go from one site to another, you know, we'll stop that sharing. But it's kind of, to me, I think it's kind of funny because it's like they all know our patterns now. They all know our habits, right? So they already have the info. So it seems like, does it really matter at this point? I don't know.
Is it tough to crack down? I mean, these companies they're not only are they global players, but we forget like how embedded these technologies are in all different facets of life. And you and I were talking also during the break about things like, you know, about tracking apps and those type of things and the data that these companies collect on you. And it's not always decentralized. I got to ask Tracy, is kind of, when it comes to regulation, it can't be that easy to do, is it?
No, I think it's really hard. It's difficult. They have, you know, there's many industries. It covers many different industries. From some are in retail, some are in advertising, some are social media, some are in TV. You know, a Capital Group analyst covering the internet companies assessed these cases and said that he doesn't think that the antitrust cases against companies like Google and Facebook are strong, and that the companies likely won't be forced to break up because of it. Investors, you know, again, would have less of a headache probably if they did not break them up. I don't think that necessarily means all bad, though, and we'll talk about that. But the other issue that you're kind of addressing here is, like, if you're looking at, like, the political issues, I mean, you think about, well, what would the Democrats want versus the Republicans? They're very, very different. I mean, you know, so how does the tech company actually fix themselves, right? Because you know, one wants more privacy, and the other one wants, you know, more equality and you know, and more fact checking and things like that. So they're polarized. So it makes it difficult for a Facebook to try to figure out, how do I fix it?
Yeah.
You know, how do I make people happy on both sides of the aisle? And that's just the political issue. I mean, there's other issues as well.
The other thing you mentioned, too, is you know, kind of the political reality of this stuff. For politicians, going after like a Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, it's kind of easy pickings to kind of do the grandstanding and, you know, bring them before Congress and we're going to wag our
right.
finger at tech. The solutions are much harder to come by. And I think for a lot of us, and I think investors probably see it this way as well, is, okay, the grandstanding is one thing. Tangibly, what happens, and I've got to ask, when we look then to investors, are they kind of starting to look at some of that regulatory risk when it comes to big tech, about some actions actually being taken, and maybe investors shying away from that?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And I think, you know, as an investor, you want to know, well, what do the experts say? How do they look at it? So Capital Group, this article focused on what they thought of big tech and whether or not risk was actually priced in to their stock prices. So they said the FANG stocks are the main companies to look at when it comes to regulatory risk, which we know. And out of those stocks, Facebook and Alphabet are under the most scrutiny. And their PE ratios are actually much lower. So it's a price to earnings ratio. It's a way to measure stocks, right? We've talked about that. But they're much lower than some of the other tech names like an Amazon or Netflix. So again, according to Capital Group's opinion, Facebook and Alphabet have like forward PE ratios of 22 and 29, while Netflix has much higher ones like 52, and 66 is Amazon. I mean, the average price to earnings ratio of the S&P 500 for many, 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 many years was somewhere between 15 to 18. So when you get into PE ratios of 22 and 29, that gets expensive. But then when you get into PE ratios of 52 and 66, I mean, wow, that can make your hair stand on edge, you know? And so their point, though, was that the difference in the two, they're all good tech names that have really long runways, according to them. And I agree with that, too. But Facebook's PE ratio of 22 is actually much more closer than the current S&P's PE ratio, which is like 21, right? So this, again, shows that when you're comparing some similar tech companies, the companies under more regulatory risk are trading at lower multiples of PE, which means that they have really already priced in that risk because they still have a long runway of growth, right? So there's still the earnings component of that would suggest that the PE would be much higher. And in fact, I've got some more info for you here. Hopefully everyone's following. But so a Capital Group analyst said, if the regulatory risks were not present, in my view, they would be trading at much higher multiples. And again, why is she saying that? And it's because Facebook reported fourth quarter profit of $11.2 billion, which is a 52% increase from the same period a year ago. Wow. I mean, isn't that incredible?
That is.
And you're looking at Alphabet had a 40% increase in profit from a year ago. So again, these companies are very, very profitable, and they're likely have a really long runway. So again, this would suggest that the price to earnings ratio, you know, would mean that they would have much higher PEs. Hence, and in conclusion, and the whole nine yards is that, you know, that these stocks probably have their regulatory risk already priced in. There you have it.
She is certified financial planner Tracy Anton right here, 1310 WIBA. This is Straight Talk from the House with T. Anton Investment House. The website, tantoninvestmenthouse.com. That's T-A-N-T-O-N investmenthouse.com. Great information about the investment house on the website. Also great opportunity to schedule an appointment at a time and a date that is convenient to you. Again, just head on over to tantoninvestmenthouse.com. Pick up the phone, give them a call right at the office in Middleton, 608-501-1549. That's 608-501-1549. Now that we're up to speed as far as what's going on with regulatory risk, we'll find out what happens if. We'll explore that. What if there is a breakup? What happens there? What kind of effect might it have on you as an investor? We'll get the details from Tracy. We will do that next as Straight Talk from the House with certified financial planner Tracy Anton continues right here, 1310 WIBA. This is Straight Talk from the House with certified financial planner Tracy Anton right here, 1310 WIBA. Don't forget you can learn more about Tracy and everyone at T. Anton Investment House online. The website's tantoninvestmenthouse.com. If you're looking for money management or portfolio management, Tracy would love to get to know you. She would love to work with you. Again, it all starts with a stop at tantoninvestmenthouse.com. The telephone number at the office right in Middleton, 608-501-1549. That's 608-501-1549. Talking a little bit about that in that last segment, Tracy, about some of the risk may actually be factored in to these stocks. But let's kind of play this out. So what would happen, and what's kind of the thought is when it comes to the valuation if some of these companies are broken up? What might we expect?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So it does look unlikely that would happen. Mm-hmm. But if these tech giants are actually forced to break up, the irony of it, the spinoffs would end up being worth more than on their own.
Really?
Yeah. So the companies that would come out of it on their own, for example, like WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook Messenger are all from Facebook alone, could benefit. They're actually pieces could be worth more than the whole. So WhatsApp doesn't make any money on its own right now, but it could get a very large valuation on its own from the 2 billion people in the user base stretching across 180 different countries. Isn't that amazing?
That is insane. Yeah, it's really
it's insane.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I didn't know it was that big. These standalone companies would have large user bases and could potentially monetize their services or products without being under one umbrella with the larger Facebook-like or thing like Facebook. So again, they could be worth more separately than together.
That is fascinating. So then when we break this down even further, Let's kind of look at the at the local level, at the me level, the investor level. What would this and how would this affect investors?
Well, the companies in question here have been major driving forces in the stock market, particularly this last year. You know, with a disruption in the tech industry and the potential for regulatory action, as well as the potential for being forced to break up, obviously, you know, all this raises concerns for investors. So the question investors are asking is, you know, how will the disruption in those companies affect the overall market? You know, and again, we've seen regulation and breakup in the past, and it doesn't always result badly. I mean, Sean, do you remember in the past with the Ma Bells, right?
Yes.
That breakup, I remember it so well. I was kind of just newer in the industry, and it was like, I remember constantly talking about that.
Yeah.
and cost basis related to it. And remember the Standard Oil breakup, you know, and the results could be good for investors in the long run. So, you know, it's a question of what's going to happen there. You know, nobody particularly knows. It doesn't always mean bad things. But I think, you know, the thing I want to also address is there was a really interesting article about I think it was a week or two ago, and it was talking about one particular mutual fund company and how much risk this company was taking when it was buying specific securities. And I think it's really important because, again, everything is about risk and reward. And so in that case, this particular portfolio manager, she was buying really, you know, very tech names, but taking large percentage stake in each of those securities. Mm. And her portfolio, the overall market was corrected. You know, the NASDAQ did correct. It was in the 10% correction. But her particular fund fell 30%. And so, you know, is that good or bad? It depends who you are. It depends who you are and what the point of the money was, and can you handle that risk level and how much money you had there. And so, markets rebounded, NASDAQ rebounded, but it's just a matter of knowing the amount of risk and being careful about the amount of risk that you're assuming.
And it is important always to have a plan. And one of the ways to put a plan in place is to meet with a certified financial planner. Tracy would love to get to know you. She would love to work with you. It all starts with a stop. Schedule that appointment right at tantoninvestmenthouse.com. That's T-A-N-T-O-N investmenthouse.com. A great website with a lot of really good information. The most important thing there, though, is that widget that pops up that says, let's talk. That's your opportunity to schedule an appointment at a time and a date that is convenient to you. Again, just head on over to tantoninvestmenthouse.com. Or, of course, you can always do it the old-fashioned way. Use the Ma Bell. Give them a call, 608-501-1549, right at the office in Middleton, 608-501-1549.
We still answer it. Can you believe
yeah,
that? We still answer it.
She does. I can vouch for that. I've had to call the office a couple of times and say, hey, guys, how's it going? But it's a really convenient way, again, just to go online. It's the best way, actually, to make that appointment. It's real convenient to you at tantoninvestmenthouse.com. Tracy, it's always great hanging out with you. You enjoy
the
weekend, and thanks for checking in this morning.
She is
certified financial planner Tracy Anton right here, 1310 WIBA.